rushing it a little bit. I probably started too fast. Can I do it one more time? One, two, three, four.
Good morning. Welcome to worship at Serenity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois.
Thank you for joining us for worship. May God bless your worship with us.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to all of you to worship here at Trinity Lutheran in Hoyleton, Illinois. I'm Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and welcome to those of you who are home and warm and watching this online. Today is the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany, and yes, there is a little bit of snow and ice out there, but we are so thankful that the Lord has given us this opportunity to gather together today and to worship Him, even in spite of the cold. It's nice and warm in here. And so wherever two or three are gathered in the name of our Lord, there He is among us. He has promised to be here with us today. We're also thankful that we have our hand chime choir, and they're going to be playing a couple of pieces in the service today. And also Ellie, who's over here acolyting, is going to be accompanying us on the sermon hymn today. So really appreciate all of that. For our order of service today, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1, and that begins on page 151. And I invite you to please stand as we begin our worship together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now turn to the introit printed on the inside cover of the bulletin. I will praise you with an upright heart. Blessed are those whose way is blameless. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. You have commanded your precepts. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will praise you with an upright heart. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together our collect of the day. We pray, O Lord, graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequence of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading, which is appointed for the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany, is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17, beginning with verse 5. Thus says the Lord, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gradual is printed on the inside cover of your bulletin. Praise the Lord, all nations. For great is his steadfast love toward us. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Our epistle reading today is from the letter of St. Paul, the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning with verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." This is the gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated, and at this time I would like to invite all the children to come forward for the children's message. Good morning. There's not that many of you. You're going to have to be louder than that today. Let's try again. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Wallenberg.
That's better. Zoe's laughing at me because she said, "There's not that many people here." Well, it's okay because I'm glad that you're here. And since we're here together, we're going to talk about Jesus. How does that sound? All right. So I got a question for you, and for Zoe and Zach, it's a little bit of an easier question. But I wanted to ask you, do you know how to get home? So like I said, Zoe and Zach, they can throw a ball from here to their house, right? So that's pretty simple. But do you know how to get home? Now, you don't have to tell me exactly where your house is. But do you know, like if you, this is probably something you don't have to think about very often, right? Because mom and dad usually bring us wherever we gotta go. But do you know how to get home? Grant, do you know how to get home? You drive where? To the house? Yeah, you drive to the house. So how do you know when you're at the right house? So?
Over time.
Over time. Okay.
Yeah, once you get it,
it's in your mind because you go there so often, right? Right. So you know when things start to look familiar, right? Lila, what were you going to say? Okay, I like that too, right? So if you know that you're on the right street, then you can look at the numbers on the mailbox, right? That works. What do you think, Zach? Numbers on the house too, right? Okay. Yeah, so a lot of times it's just looking at what's around your home and you kind of, like Zoe said, over time you kind of memorize what's around. And so when things start to look familiar, then you know how to get home. The further away you are from home, the harder it is to figure out how to get back. You know, I don't know if you've noticed at this time of year, even though today it's kind of snowy and icy, the birds are starting to fly around here a lot more. Have you noticed that outside? There's been lots and lots of birds. And I think what's happening is birds are starting to make their way back home after going south for the winter. Did you know that some birds fly thousands of miles away from home to be in warmer climates for the winter? And then they have to fly thousands of miles back? How in the world do birds know how to get home? Birds can't read the numbers on the mailboxes or on the houses, right? So birds have to pay attention to things like the sun in the sky. And they also, from up high, they look at different landmarks on the ground and they can know where to go to get home. I wanted to show you something that I call a bird's eye view. And this is something that some of you maybe have seen before. It hangs up in my office. This is a bird's eye view. Now, what is this picture of? Lila.
A bunch of houses.
Can you recognize any of these houses? Gus, what do you think?
Yes,
you can. Are there any of these houses in particular? You know what they are? Little houses, Zach? What is that? Where is that? That's where we are, right? This is Hoyleton. So way back, it says down here in the corner, 2018. So that's going back a few years ago. But the Confirmands from that year bought this. They gave that to me as a class gift. They all signed it on the top. That's what all these names in gold are on the top. But this is a picture of our town. And this picture was taken with a drone way up in the sky on Christmas morning. And so you can actually see some snow on the ground. This is kind of like what Hoyleton looks like today, right? Because there's snow on the ground. Now, I will say there are some things about even our little village of Hoyleton that have changed since 2018. So some of the things that you see in this picture are not exactly the way it looks outside. But this is a really amazing picture, don't you think? You can see some things that you recognize, like our church is right here, and there's another church over here that's Zion around the corner in town. And if you look closely, you can also find Kretzers on this picture, right? So that's where you know to go to get some good food. And you can see the Hoyleton Children's Home, and you can see the water tower, right? There's all these different things you can see to help you get around, and you can look from up high. I'm going to put this away. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about how Jesus helps us to get around in our lives. So just like you looking around and seeing things that are familiar and then you know that you're close to home, God puts things in our lives that look familiar to us the more that we see them. And it has to do with His Word. So we go out in our lives and we have lots of different experiences. We go to school. We have other activities that we participate in, right? And as we get older, we keep coming back to some of the same places over and over and over again, like our houses, but also like this place, right? Like church. And we hear God's word, and we hear about the amazing good news that he sent us a Savior, his son Jesus. And when we are hearing God's word, we know that we are at home because we belong to Jesus. When we come to God's house, we know that we're home because we belong to Jesus. We also know that God has prepared for us an eternal home in heaven. And so when we hear God's word, we are reminded that someday we're going to be in heaven with him, and that will be our new home. And so every day that we go out into the world, there are things that might seem unfamiliar, or even sometimes things that are scary, things that make us sad. But when we go to God's word, that's how it kind of gives us like that big bird's eye view. And just like a bird traveling thousands of miles to get home, God's word leads us to our eternal home and to our home with him, even here on earth when we come together as brothers and sisters in church. And I think that's a wonderful thing, to be at home with Jesus. So let's say a prayer, and we're going to thank God for giving us that spiritual home. You can fold your hands and bow your heads and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, we thank you for giving us a home in you. Lead us to our eternal home in heaven. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you guys so much for coming up. And you can go back and sit with your moms and dads. And Ellie is running up to the balcony because she's going to accompany us. But our next hymn is number 932, but we're going to sing it to a more familiar tune. So we're going to sing it to the tune of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today comes from the gospel reading from Luke chapter 6, where Jesus preaches the Beatitudes, sort of. It's a little bit different from the reading that we're used to hearing that we call the Beatitudes, the famous passage from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. And one of the things that makes this reading a little bit different from that one is that not only does Jesus preach these blessings at the beginning of the sermon, but he pairs those blessings along with curses, warnings, woes. As he lays all this out for his disciples, it's like he's giving them a bird's eye view, just like I was showing the kids with the picture of Hoyleton a little bit ago. But in that bird's eye view, he's giving them things to look out for, things to avoid and pay attention to. But knowing that as we go out into this dark and dangerous world, as long as we remain in God's word, we always, always have a way back home. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, so recently our confirmands and I have been studying the Apostles' Creed together. This is pretty normal at this time of year that we would start studying the Creed pretty much right away when we get back from Christmas break. And so that's what we've been doing. And as many of you know, when we teach the Creed in confirmation class, we break it down into three articles. Each of those three articles corresponds to one of the persons of the Holy Trinity. So Article 1 is all about God the Father. Article 2, God the Son. Article 3, God the Holy Spirit. And it was just about 2 weeks ago that we finally wrapped up our conversation about Article 1, God the Father, which is the shortest of the three. And we're going to confess the creed together just after the sermon, but it's, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That's it. Just that one sentence, that's the whole first article of the creed. And you can tell, based on the way that we describe God the Father in that article, maker of heaven and earth, that the main thing that we're focusing on is God as our creator. That he's the one who has made us, and he's made everything that exists. And that's a pretty simple concept to understand, but it gets us into some fun and honestly some deep conversations in confirmation class. Because when we talk about God creating human beings, we say that God created us to have bodies and souls together. And so we end up having a deep discussion on what is the human soul? I don't know if all of you here today would say that you can actually answer that question with a lot of certainty and be very precise about it. What is the human soul? We talk about all the things that God created that are not just physical, all the spiritual beings that God created. So we end up talking about angels and demons, and we do a deep dive on Satan and who he is and all of that kind of stuff. And of course, we also have a conversation about creation versus evolutionary theory. So up here, we have a couple confirmands. Ellie kind of represents our day school class. Jake represents our public school class. I would say both of them would probably tell you that sometimes these are difficult things to think about and talk about first thing in the morning. But we do okay, right? Most of the time, I would say. Creation is common sense. Or at least it should be. Creation is common sense, especially to those of us who believe in God, those of us who believe what the Bible teaches us. You look at the world around you, and you should be able to see evidence everywhere that there is a creator. You observe the way that life works on this planet and how astoundingly complex everything is, and yet how it fits together perfectly. You see how this planet's ecosystem functions in perfect harmony, how plants and animals rely upon one another for their existence and for reproduction. and how there's such order to everything that exists. You just know intuitively that it had to come from a design, that it could not have just come about randomly. It's just something that we understand as we look at the world. One of the things that I love to talk about whenever I have an opportunity to teach about this is I like to talk about bees. Like, bzz, bees. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but I like talking about how at least one-third of the entire world's food supply is directly dependent upon bees and other similar pollinators just to exist. And that doesn't even get into the fact that there would be widespread consequences to the entire food chain if all of a sudden all the bees just disappeared. Our lives literally depend upon bees. That's not an exaggeration whatsoever. So that kind of interdependence alone suggests that these creatures are part of one big grand design, that they couldn't have just evolved randomly and separately from everything else that exists. That doesn't make any sense. But on top of that, you see even more evidence of creation and design when you study how these bees live together in their hives. The sophisticated roles that every single individual bee must play, the tasks that they have to perform for the entire colony to be able to survive. There's so much that could be said about this, but I want to tell you just about one aspect of it that absolutely fascinates me. The worker bees, who are the ones who have to go out and do all the foraging and do all the pollinating, go and gather all the pollen and all the nectar, somehow they have to learn how to get back to the hive safely. And so before these worker bees go out on their first foraging missions and flights, they have to first take several days to do what are known as orientation flights, which literally just mean they spend several days flying around the hive. They go in arcs and circles. They start lower and they gradually get higher and the circles get bigger and bigger. And what they're doing as these bees are circling everything is they are committing all of the different landmarks around to memory so that when they eventually go out to collect nectar and pollen, which sometimes can be up to 2 miles away from the hive, they are able to see the way to get back home. And so I don't know if it's just that I'm from Connecticut and I just need to get out more. I don't know if that's what the thing is for me, but this fascinates me. It fascinates me that these bees naturally know how to do this extremely important thing, and that if they didn't do it, the entire hive would die of starvation. And if the hives die of starvation and the bees don't exist, then guess what? You and me are following next. Atheistic evolutionary biologists just want to call this instinct. But what we hear as instinct, we call creation. The bees have not just developed extremely slowly through natural selection over millions of years. God designed it this way, on purpose. And that might seem like an overly simple explanation to some, but if you really think about it, it's the only one that makes any sense. Now, besides bees, God, our creator, has given us something else that's extremely important to keep us alive. And that, of course, is his word. And so what I want us to do is consider the word that Jesus was preaching in the sermon that we encounter in this gospel reading today. But before I get into it, I do want to clear up a few things about this passage. Because, like I said before, this does sound very similar to another sermon that Jesus preached that's a little bit more famous than this one. the one that we call the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew's Gospel, which also begins with a number of blessings that we call the Beatitudes. But this is not the Sermon on the Mount. This one we call the Sermon on the Plain. And we call it that because Luke tells us right away in verse 17 that they are all gathered standing on a level place. So this is not a mountain, and this is not the same speech that Jesus delivered when he was on the mountain with his disciples. And so sometimes this troubles people. And they say, does this mean that one of the two gospel writers got this wrong? That these details, which don't match up between Matthew and Luke, that this must be one of those biblical contradictions? Does this mean that Jesus didn't want to write a new sermon, so he went into his files and recycled an old one? I mean, what is going on here? Let me reassure you, in Jesus' day, Jewish teachers, rabbis, often would repeat their teachings in multiple settings. The truth is, Jesus probably used beatitude blessings to begin a whole bunch of his sermons throughout his earthly ministry. We just have these two instances recorded for us in the Bible, one in Matthew and one in Luke. So there's no contradictions here. These are just two different events, two different speeches given to two different crowds. That's all that's going on here. But what Jesus is teaching to this crowd in the Sermon on the Plain is similar to what we would say would be like an orientation flight for all of his little worker bees, also known as all of his disciples. And also note, when Luke uses the term disciples here, he's not just talking about the 12. He calls them this great crowd. So he's talking about disciples more in a broad sense, right? A disciple is just anyone who learns from a teacher. Anyone who follows a teacher can be considered a disciple. So there's a whole bunch of disciples of Jesus that are gathered there on that day. A whole swarm of disciples, if you catch my drift. And all of us disciples, even today, we all form what is essentially kind of like a beehive. And I mean that in the best sense of the term. I don't mean that we just have this hive mind and we can't critically think on our own, but what I do mean is that as the hive of Christ, we all take on different roles for God's kingdom. And we rely upon each other for all sorts of things, including spiritual support and encouragement and accountability. And then Jesus takes all of us that are in the hive and he sends us out. He sends us out like worker bees that have to go and find not pollen or nectar, but we go out and we search for other souls. It's just like we were reminded in the gospel reading last week when Jesus told Simon Peter, from now on, you are going to be fishing for men. But also, before we go out and do this work, just like bees, we have certain things that we need to be able to learn about ourselves and about the rest of the world around us, because Jesus wants to make sure as we go out into this dangerous world that we are going to be able to get back home. And so that's where we hear the difference between these beatitudes and the ones from the Sermon on the Mount. Because like I mentioned before, these blessings are paired together with woes. And those woes are there to help teach us, to orient us as we go out from the hive. Now, the ones that Jesus mentions here are four things that we can all relate to. He talks about money. He talks about food. He talks about our emotions. And he talks about our reputations. So he pairs the blessings of each with the woes for each, right? So it's blessed are those who are poor, but woe to those who are rich. Blessed are those who hunger, but woe to those who are full and satisfied. Blessed are those who weep now, but woe to those who laugh now. And of course, blessed are those who are cursed and reviled on account of me, but woe to those who have everyone speak well of them. And so those four things become, just to kind of stretch this metaphor out as far as they possibly can, these four things are kind of like four of the big landmarks that we need to be paying attention to. Four things that we need to mark, and four things that can create big problems for us if we're not careful. Jesus says woe to these things because he knows we love to be comfortable. We love to go out and pursue the things that are going to make us a lot of money or make sure that we have enough food, the things that are going to make us feel really good and make us laugh, the things that are going to get us lots and lots of friends. But Jesus says woe to these things because he knows that any single one of them could destroy us if taken too far. Jesus helps us to fly above all of these things like a bee and circle around the hive, look at the dangers, mark them, memorize them. He orients our souls with his word so that we will never be lost, so that we can always get back home. And the best part about this is that it does not depend upon us whatsoever. It's all according to his design. It's all according to his creation. Our God is not only the creator of everything that exists, but he's also the redeemer, capital R, the redeemer of all mankind. That's Article 2 of the Creed, the Son of God, knowing that we would never be able to navigate all of this on our own, has come and has accomplished this for all of us. He became poor so that we could be rich. He was hungry so that we would be satisfied. He wept so that we could laugh. He was mocked. He was cursed so that we could have the praise. We haven't done anything to deserve these amazing gifts that he has already given to us. And he continues to give us even more than we can possibly imagine. He gives us his word, his gospel, his good news, that our sins are forgiven, that we are covered with his righteousness. He gives us his promise that he will always accompany us. He will always continually show us which path to take and which way to go in order for our lives to be filled with blessings and not with woes. We don't have to trust in random evolutionary processes and the survival of the fittest in a dog-eat-dog world, which sadly, many people believe that that's the only way that the world works, but our Creator and our Redeemer is a whole lot kinder to us than that. He has grace and mercy and forgiveness and love for us. So when we're taking these orientation flights, we can take that to heart. We can always look for the things that we need to avoid, but we can also see the really good spiritual landmarks that God gives to us along the way as well. We can see his word. We can see the sacraments, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. These are the things that guide us back home over and over again, just like a worker bee in God's kingdom. And we always, as we go about our lives, look forward to the day when we get to really come home for good. When we get to come to the heavenly hive, when we get to come to the eternal promised land flowing with milk and, yes, honey. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. And now we will join together in speaking the words of the Apostles' Creed, which are printed for you on page 159. We confess together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In our prayers today, we have a few updates for you. We are going to lift in prayer Kurt Brink, who had knee replacement surgery on Thursday, and all went well with him, and he is now recovering. We will also continue to pray for Bob Brink, but Bob is actually currently hospitalized. He was having some trouble breathing over the weekend, but that has gotten better, and he should be coming back home soon. And we will remember the family of Shirley Large. That would be the mother of Deb Obermeyer. Shirley passed away on this past Tuesday. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, your kingdom has been made manifest in the preaching and miracles of Jesus Christ. Gather together a great multitude from every Gentile nation and from the remnant of Israel, that many may know the wisdom that has come in the flesh. Lord, in your mercy, grant, O Lord, that your people may always hold fast to the word that has been preached to them and not hear it in vain. Bless our partners in mission and ministry, especially our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Hoffman, and their pastor, Brett Jones. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you bestow favor and honor and withhold nothing from those who walk uprightly. Bless our homes that generations to come would love your promises, walk in your truth, and dwell in your house. We give thanks for all who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Jim, Howard, Parker, Tom, Waylon, Mackenzie, Courtney, Marilyn, Gavin, Gabriel, and Ariel. And we also ask you to be with all married couples, especially those who are celebrating anniversaries, including Greg and Michelle Cool. May your love shine through them each and every day. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, preserve us from the ways of the wicked and prosper us in your paths. We commend to you all who bear office in our land and ask you to make them a blessing to those they serve. Grant to us every joy in the calling you have given to us, that we would render service to you in our works of love toward our neighbor. Remember those in need of honest labor and daily bread, and give them gainful employment according to your good and gracious will. Be with all who serve in the military, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Patty, Austin, Ward, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Mark. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, hear our prayer for those who are troubled by any unclean spirit, memory, or thought, for the sick, for all who need your healing, especially all who are on our prayer list, including those in care facilities, Thretta, Beulah, Janice, Jim, Charles, and Betty. We lift before you Bob, as he is currently hospitalized, and also Kurt, who is recovering from his recent surgery. We pray that you would bless them and allow them to be back on their feet as soon as possible. We also ask you to be with those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Richard, Don, Marvin, Amy, Ronnie, Francie, Greg, Euleen, Gina, Christy, Brent, Nancy, Laverne, and all those who are facing cancer. Send forth your power in the name of Christ Jesus, that they would hear your word and be cured. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, your Son is risen from the dead and has promised that he is the first fruits from among those who sleep. Preserve us in Christ Jesus with hope beyond this life. Comfort those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Shirley Large, with the certainty of Christ's resurrection, and grant us to live in confident expectation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, plant us as trees by the stream of Christ our Savior, Root us securely in his word and wisdom. Do not let us turn from you, nor put our trust in man and this flesh, which fail. Preserve us from all anxiety, and take our fears away through right fear of you. Cause us by your Holy Spirit to bear much fruit, and when affliction and persecution come, to stand firm and rejoice at the great reward that is laid up for those who trust in you. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated, and at this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand. And we turn now to sing the offertory on the bottom of page 159. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated, and the closing hymn is 923, Almighty Father, Bless the Word. Please stand. Good morning. Thank you, Hand Chimes. We really appreciate you being here. Thank you again to Ellie. Also, I wanted to thank the trustees for being here early this morning and helping to clear everything on the sidewalks and the steps so that we could all be here safely today. So thank you to the guys who were here for that. I've got a few things to announce today. First of all, we have our family night planned for tonight. Dominoes and Dominoes. I know that some folks were wondering, you know, with everything outside, if we were going to still be able to have that. And the plan as of right now is to have Dominoes and Dominoes night. So we'll be gathering tonight at 5:30 over in the school. And there will be Domino's pizza provided. If you have a set of Domino's to play, bring it along. We especially would love for you to bring double 12s. That would be the best. But you can bring any set of Domino's that you have. Also, if you could please plan to bring a side dish or a dessert to share, that would also be wonderful, something to go along with the pizza. And also related to this, if any of you right now, after we leave here, if you are willing and able to come on over to the school and help us set up tables and chairs, that would really be appreciated so that we don't have to worry about doing that later this evening. If anything changes and we make a decision to not have the event, we will let you know on Facebook and we'll have an all call. But as of right now, let us plan on having that family night tonight. Number two, just I wanted to make sure everybody was aware that tomorrow being President's Day, the church and school office will be closed. There is no school. And so Jane will not be in the office tomorrow. Please feel free to contact me if there are any pastoral needs, but there will be nobody in the office during the day tomorrow. And then finally, there is an announcement in your bulletin that we are going to be calling for a special voters meeting. So this is at the request of our Board of Education, and I've talked with our chairman, Larry Underfert. We are going to ask for that special voters meeting to take place next Sunday for the purpose of presenting to the congregation a teacher candidate that the Board of Education has recently interviewed, that they would like to see whether the voters would like to extend a call to this individual. And so that will take place immediately after worship next Sunday right here in the sanctuary. We hope that our voters can all make it to that meeting. If you have any questions about this, please talk to Mr. Schaff or you can talk to any of the members of the Board of Education. Those are my top three for the week. Are there any other announcements today? All right, if not, then go be safe out there. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us today.
We hope you can come and join us again next week.